Okay, so this year is called Two Are Better Than One. It's based on five or six psukim in Koheles. Perek Dalad, Pasuk Zion, through Yud Beis. Okay, and we'll just do it with Rashi. Now, there's not a tremendous amount of chidushim in this year. It's more just psychology. It's like Mishlei type of psukim in Koheles. Okay, they're interesting psukim, but it's, you know, basic, nice, interesting ideas. It's they're all like around one theme. How two are better than one, which is hence the title, right? Makes sense. Okay, so let's start. Vishavti ani ve'era hevel tachas ha'shamash. So Kelis turns and he sees, returns to see that there's another hevel underneath the sun. Okay. Yesh echad ve'ein sheni. There is one and not two. Gambein v'ach ein lo. Okay. So there's a, let's throw Rashi right away on that one. Yesh echad vein sheni. Yesh lecha adam sh'ose dvar b'yachidi. There's a person who does everything on his own. Totally independent on his own. Vein sheni, there's nobody with him. Gam bein v'achin lo, no son, no brother with him. Vein keitz lechol amalo, there's no end to his labor. V'gam gam eino lo sis ba'usher. Also his eyes, he never satisfies with wealth. And who am I working for? And diminishing myself, my life from all the good. So this is also Hevel. It's Hevel. It's something wrong, terrible, illusion, fantasy, karitagar. Okay, different ways of understanding it. Vinyan Rahu, and it's a bad minhag. It's a bad nature. A very bad nature. Okay? Okay, good. So let's take a look at Rashi. We'll do one pasuk at a time, I guess. There's different ways to do this. I could have read them all, but we'll do one pasuk at a time with Rashi, and we'll analyze them, and we'll see what you guys say. The ideas aren't fully worked out. I have a basic approach, but I figured you guys will help me out, work out the ideas fully. Okay? So it's gam. So we have yesh echad vein sheni. Yesh lecha adam sh'os dvar b'yachidi. So they're talking about a certain type of person who's always one. He's never two. Okay. Gam bein v'ach ein lo. Im talmud chacham hu. So if you're talking about talmud chacham, ein kohen lo talmud shu kibein. He hasn't acquired for himself a student, which is like a son. V'lo chaver shu kach, or a friend, a chavrusa, which is like a brother. Vim Ravaku, Enos Isha, so he's a bachelor. He doesn't get married. Lios Lokaach, Leizer, Leholi Ben, to be like a brother, a helper, he's a connecto in order to have kids. Vim Socherhu, if he's a merchant. Enakon Lashutfim, he doesn't have any partners. Vieta Derchidi, and he goes out alone. Right?
Okay.
Who is this guy? He's Mr. Echad. Right, number one.
The Echad is a person, if he's a Chacham. His son is his Talmud, and his Chavrus is like his brother, is that what you're saying?
Well, number one doesn't have brothers and sons.
Okay.
Because he doesn't have Talmidim, and he doesn't have any Chavrusas.
Oh, he doesn't have
He does it. Not have. Oh, he's number one. Number one. Uh-huh. Echad ein sheni. There's nobody else with him. So if he's a Talmud Chacham, he's got no Chavrusas, no Talmidim. If he doesn't get married, and in business, he has no partners. Okay, it's not three separate guys. This is one guy, right? Echad, yesh echad, number one. Okay, and this guy, this personality trait he has of yesh echad vein sheni, it manifests itself in all aspects of his life, in his learning, in his social life, in his business. It's always, everything he does on his own. Okay, very independent. Okay, very independent.
Right.
Okay. The ain kates l'chol amalo yiga begirsa. The exertion that he has to do in learning, there's no end to it. How the right vim sochehu amal prakmacha, and if he's a merchant, right? Also, there's no end to the labor and involvement he has in business. There's no end in sight. Yeah, go ahead, Yaakov.
Rashi's not really tied to all three of those metaphors, right?
He is. He's going to learn them through.
But he doesn't learn all of them for everything.
Right? Correct. Like correct. Two correct. For this, two for that. Correct. Because I don't think that's a good point. Okay. Yes, and it's his point. Yaakov is pointing out because Yaakov prepared. Okay, is that Rashi's not going to learn on there's three different cases. Tam Chacham with no Chavrusas, no Tamidim. Right? The bachelor who never gets married to have kids. Okay, no wife and kids. And the businessman with no partners. Right? Three different cases. But it's not three different ways. Right? And the problem is, Yaakov is pointing out, is that Rashi, for example, and this is on Rashi, in Kitz the Cholam Olo, he only explains it in terms of the Tam Chacham. There's no end to how much he has to exert himself in terms of learning. Girsa, acquiring the knowledge of, facts and background knowledge. And if he's a businessman, there's no end to how much he has to work in terms of business. But Rashi hasn't explained to you in terms of the other mashal, version of the mashal, because of the bachelor. What does that mean? In Kitz the Cholam Olo, what do you even mean? So, right? So, in theory, if there's three ways to interpret the mashal, then there should be each phrase in the next five psukim should be able to be interpreted according to all three different ways. But the answer is that number one is not, it's not three different mashallah, three different interpretations for this one mashal. Okay? This is a straightforward mashal, but it's one guy. And this one guy, it will manifest itself in all areas of his life. So some of these phrases, Rashi only interpret in one or two ways because they're only applicable to certain areas of his life. But it's not different ways to learn the mashal. There's one way to learn the mashal Rashi's learning. Okay, this type of guy, Yesh Echad, Vein Sheni, and every area of his life is going to manifest itself now. Right? And then for some phrases, Ein Ketzachal Molo is shaykh to only certain ones, the business aspect and the learning aspect. There's no end to how much effort and energy and labor he has to put into acquiring the background knowledge of learning. And business, right? Well, why should that be? Why is that? What would you guys say?
I don't really follow the question.
The question is just what's Pshat? Why should it be a guy who's Echad Vein Sheni? Why should it be that he has no end to the amount of effort and time and energy he has to put into his business plans, into his learning?
He
has no help from anybody. Right? If you have chavrusas, you can prepare, each of you can prepare something separately. Or if you're a business, you can split up of, you take this town and I'll take the next town, right? So there's no, basically he's on his own entirely. He refuses to accept help. He will not be helped by anybody else, okay, in anything. He has to do everything on his own. He won't accept any help. So therefore, there becomes like no end in sight since he can't ever bring in an assistant, a partner. Anybody to help him learn, to help him to do anything. He's got to do everything on his own. So he can't bring in anybody's expertise, right? So he's got to figure out everything for himself. There becomes no end to something. Everything he's got to learn on his own from scratch, right? He can't bring in anybody's help. And there becomes no end in sight to the amount of effort he has to put in because he's got to become an expert in everything, all different areas of knowledge and in terms of in business. He's got to do everything himself. Right, so the amount of work becomes infinite, basically. Yeah.
So why can't he just take on tasks that are more befitting, the fact he's an individual? The lower his standards, I guess, the lower he's going for.
We realize he's not willing to take any help and just do things that are more limited and then only do those things.
Yeah, less business, but...
Okay, that's a good question. That's a good question. What do you say about Yaakov's question?
Do you have to repeat Yaakov's question?
I guess I'm saying I don't see why it's necessary. Why it's necessary that it's in Kitzachom Olo. Why can't you say he'll just work less? He'll, work befitting that right. He's able to actually work.
Right, and make a question. Let's say a guy with partners. A guy with partners who keeps working also. He has a lot of work. A guy, lawyers who work at a law firm. Nothing to say that there's an end to how much work they can do. Just because you're in a law firm doesn't mean there's a,
Well, I guess I'm not going to divorce himself from help unless he's like really, like maybe kind of obsessed with obtaining that goal. Like, if I want to learn, just want to become a good learner, so then I'll use whatever tools that are available. I'll learn with other people. But if like see like a person who's like obsessed with achieving some goal, like they like they have to do it on their own, so they'll push away help and they'll try to reach that point.
Okay. I mean, he's obsessed with accomplishing his goal. He's refusing to take any help, and therefore, you mean he's not gonna bring his sights down, his goals down.
Yeah.
Okay. You mean, but you're saying part of the characteristic of a guy, this guy who's always doing everything on his own, is that he has unrealistic goals, or his goals are not tailored to the fact that he won't accept any help. He doesn't want to. It's good. It's a good step.
Yeah. I mean
he's not being realistic. As you're saying, right? He's not such a realistic guy, where he's not going to say, look, I'm not willing to accept any help, so let me have more moderate goals. No, he has the same goals that everybody else who does accept help has, but he's going to do it on his own. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's part of his sickness. Okay? This guy, we're going to see the guy's a sick guy. Okay? Unfortunate.
What's wrong with that? Not being sick, like, what's wrong with
it? In Ketzachol Amolo, there's going to be no end. If you don't adjust, if you want to do what everybody else does with help, but you're going to do it on your own, and that's part of what he wants to do. Part of this guy, what he's trying to accomplish, is he's going to do what everybody else does with partners, with helpers, with people helping them, but he's going to do it on his own.
So what if there's an end? No end to what?
To his work. He's constantly working. There's no end to it.
So you could be constantly working when your partner's also.
You could. That is true.
So what does that mean?
It doesn't mean there aren't other reasons why a person will work, like we said, like a lawyer at a law firm. He doesn't have to do everything himself. He's got secretaries. He's got partners, right? But still, he could be working constantly all the time. So it doesn't mean there aren't other psychological problems that can cause a person to constantly work and never be able to stop. But it's saying this particular guy, this particular psyche, by its nature, leads a person to have an infinite amount of work, an unending amount of work, because his goal is not realistic. His goal is a goal that's for people who have help. And since he's not willing to accept help and he has to do everything himself, it becomes an unending amount of work that he has to do in order to try to accomplish his goal. Because he's not a rational, you're starting to see it. He's not a rational guy who just, whatever, he works better alone. Right? And therefore he moderates his goals and has more realistic goals. No, he dafka wants to do what everybody else does with help, he's going to do alone. And therefore, there's no end to it. Because now you have to specialize in all these different areas, and you can't, every time there's a new problem, you have to do it yourself. New project, it's always you. You can't bring on anybody else.
But that's not a goal thing, though. It's not really because he's setting goals. It's more of like, if he does something on his own, he's gonna feel the lack of motivation. I mean, not in that sense. Meaning that it's just, it may feel like there's no end because it'll just take you longer. Meaning to figure out on your own. I don't know if it's a goal.
Okay, I mean, it's going to take him longer, and it's going to a lot longer, and he's not really going to be able to achieve it ultimately. Because there's a reason why people get help for a lot of these things. Whatever they're trying to accomplish, there's a reason why they get help.
Yeah, but I'm saying if he doesn't get help,
and he's going to have to do it all himself.
Yeah, and that in itself could be difficult.
And he's not going to be able to accomplish it.
Right, but I don't know.
He's going to have to work day and night in order to try to...
I'm trying to say that's separate from a goal. I mean, I don't know why you have to add the goal in there.
Well, I mean, it was Yaakov's question. Is that if he moderated his goals to the fact that he's a one-person firm and no help, then, I mean, why wouldn't he be able to achieve it? But I'm saying part of the thing is he's one person trying to do the work of five people. That's impossible.
But who said he's trying to do the work of five people? What if he's just trying to do the work of one person?
So then why is there no end to his work?
Why is there no end to his work?
Yeah. Why is he, that's it, 9 to 5, he does it and goes home.
Maybe just psychologically could feel difficult, and it's not because he's on his own.
Okay, that's good. Could be.
It just feels like
there's no end.
It's just a feeling of being lonely. It's not a feeling of you have a lot of work, because that's just stupidity at that point. That's not a psychological thing. That's just stupidity. Like if I'm one guy taking being a lawyer for five different firms on my own for 300 people, that's just stupidity. That's no one. No one's going to intentionally put himself in that situation. I'm trying to say that it's that to me, that's just, you know, it's a different level of.
Okay, well, let's see the guy. We'll see the guy. We'll fill him out, and then we'll come back to if he's stupid or not. Okay. Okay, he's probably a smart guy. The truth is, he's usually a pretty smart guy. Okay, gam einav lo tisba osher, right? Lo yehesava betame Torah. So he's not going to be satisfied with the reasonings of the svaras of the Torah, because a lot of the Torah a person learns from his students. He's always chasing after money. Part of his personality is chasing after money. He's never really satisfied. He never really is going to be satisfied with the Tamei Torah, because he's not able to learn from others. Okay. Now, part of the ideas of the Torah is you can't really get to all the ideas of the Torah on your own. You really need help from people. You need help from your Rebbeim. You need help from your Chavrusas. You need help from your Talmidim in order to open up different ideas in the Torah. And the person to be satisfied that they've gotten to a certain depth to get to a certain depth in understanding the Torah. It's not really achievable on your own. It can't really be achieved on your own. Certain amount of, and we'll see this as he develops the point, maybe a little bit deeper later on.
Didn't Abraham understand on his own?
His shtei klayos, his two kidneys, became two advisors to him. That chazal?
No, I was just referring to the fact that he discovered monotheism on his own.
He had a market.
Oh, yeah. He learned what Yitzchak done, huh? No,
he's saying it
in the
beginning.
Well?
He's saying it in the beginning.
In the beginning.
How you came
out of
the first place.
That's
Sarah. Oh, but, right, Avin was Megayar, the Nashim, Yisrael's Megayar, the Nashim. So they had Talmidim. Those were all their Talmidim.
I'm saying, how do you get those ideas in the first place?
He taught people. He argued with them.
No, but I think he was Mechadish.
No, it doesn't mean, like I said, it doesn't mean a guy on his own can't come up with ideas. You're probably brilliant people who think on their own, have ideas on their own. It's just saying that they're deeper ideas that like a Talmud will spark a Rebbe by having to teach somebody and ask questions, like you're saying right now. Mm-hmm. Okay? So that opens up ideas. In fact, you have to answer somebody, and you know, there's a certain. It's probably, I don't know if it's like a laziness of thought, that's just very hard for a person, maybe it's just without somebody else outside of yourself questioning your ideas and noticing things, then it's like you don't necessarily see the weaknesses of your own idea. Could be there's a certain emotional bias you have to your own ideas.
A little less focused.
Yeah, and it's very hard. It's very hard to try to work out, as far as especially, Ian, on your own, without having the give and take of a chavrusa or the Talmidim asking questions. So it's you're not really going to get to any depth in Torah without, and that's what I get. It seems that's what Rashi's pointing out to. There's a certain satisfying element of getting to certain ideas. You have to get to a certain depth before you're satisfied with the concepts.
Who was Rashi's Talmud?
Rashi? I mean, he had his Rabbeinu, his Talmidim, Rashbam, Rabbeinu Tam. Many times actually after he died. But he had a Rabbeinu Meir, Rashbam's father. Machzor Vitri. Who else? I don't know. You look it up online. Okay, that's one parish. I'm saying because of Rashi brings in that. What about the Mammon thing? Filling in Mammon. Harod wrote this. Why is the guy we're chasing after Mammon always?
For being alone?
Yeah, this loner. The loner. Mr. Number One. Why is he always chasing after money?
Social security.
Sense of security, okay.
Yeah, because he's alone, he may feel a lack of security from other people. It's a comfort thing.
Comfort thing, okay.
Money is a cushion. It's an outlet for that.
A cushion, okay.
Psychological cushion.
Psychological, okay. Anything else? Any other reason why he's always wrote the Vachamamma? He's never satisfied?
It's an obsession.
What? It's an obsession. Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, what do you mean?
I mean, the same unrealistic desires, goals that are driving him to, you know, say I'm the best, I can accomplish these things on my own.
Right.
Is going to lead him to trying to, you know, desiring material things, or, like, things that aren't, like, really worth desiring. Like, that goal, also money. And it's the same kind of desire.
Right. He's trying to prove he's the greatest. He's trying to prove he's great. He doesn't need any help. He can accomplish what, you know, somebody else takes five people. And money is a way of keeping score, of showing how great he is. And he's going to keep chasing money because he has to have the most money. He's got to show how great he is. His own greatness is manifested through his ability to make money.
But if he's alone, who is he going to show it off to?
Everybody else. He's going to look and see how great he is. He's the greatest person in the world. So this is the guy. This is the guy who thinks he's the greatest person in the world. Okay, he's an individual. He doesn't need anybody's help. He's perfect. He's can do everything on his own. And he wants the money as a way of showing everybody how he's better than everybody. Okay, the money's not there for the money to be spent. It's for the money to manifest his own grandeur and his greatness. Okay, but then he'll never be satisfied with money because the money is and for a couple of reasons. One is because you never have the most money in the world. There's always somebody else who has more money than you. You know? I guess in theory, you know, there's one guy who has the most, but then there's somebody else who ends up getting more than that guy soon, you know? And, you know, in general, somebody else always has more, had more at some point. Okay. That's one thing. Another thing is when money is a fantasy, it's not a reality. When you don't want money, money is a means to an end. That's what it really is in life. And if you have fixed ends, things that you actually need, what you're trying to get, then there's a possible to be satisfied with the amount of money you have because you can be someich b'chelko, because you have a certain amount of money. This is what you have. You're able to buy what you need, and you're good. But if money is not money in its own right, money becomes a fantasy of money, of what money means, your kavod, your prestige, your honor, your own greatness, it no longer is money, but really represents something else, then no matter how much money you have, you never feel satisfied. Because you're always looking for that recognition that you're trying to get from the money, like he's trying to get. And since that recognition never really comes, in general, people aren't going to all just say, this is you are the greatest person, Mr. Do-It-All-Yourself. You know, he's not going to get that satisfaction, you know. So he's trying to accomplish it through money, but the money is not the thing itself. He's not really looking for the money. He's looking for something else the money's supposed to bring him. And insofar as he never quite gets that other thing, he'll never be satisfied with the money. The money's feeding some other fantasy. Could be the guy who's saying it's a security, it's a comfort. He's trying to get some sense, but he never gets that security. He never gets that comfort. He never gets that prestige. So there's never really an end to the money that he wants. I think the pshat in the money thing is the money is he's looking for the recognition that he's the greatest. And money is like, so to speak, it's like an objective measure of who's really the greatest and in his mind. And therefore, therefore, he keeps trying to get more and more.
But can he just be alone and not do that? I mean,
and not care what other people...
There are lonely people out there who don't care about money.
Yeah, there could be a lonely person who doesn't care about money.
Speaking in general, or just like...
This is a certain type of a guy. It's not saying there aren't other people who don't have the problem of oyv kesef liyispa kesef. There could be other reasons why a person is looking for money. You know, there's a certain kind of a guy. He has these different characteristics, different features about him. It's you know, we're trying to analyze this particular person, trying to understand what makes him tick. What are the flaws in his way of thinking? What is the harm he does himself? You know, but basically, it's a guy he's narcissistic. He's very narcissistic. He has a inflated sense of himself, but not only does he like at the root, in a certain sense, at the root of his narcissism, of his delusions of grandeur, of his own greatness, is an insecurity. Is an insecurity that he feels that there's something wrong with him, that there is something wrong with him, and he has to prove that he's so perfect and amazing by not being dependent on anybody else. And he has to prove to everybody else that he's so great by having more money than everybody else. You know, so he has to, the insecurity is what breeds these characteristics, that he has to put on this front that he's the greatest, which makes him be unable to take any help, unable to have, to benefit anybody else. And the truth is it's got to be more than that, not just the ability to take help, because what about the Talmidim thing? Right, not having a Talmidim, that's not really because you can't take help from anybody else. It seems it's more, it becomes completely just a self-centered person, right, who has no real concern for others. His entire energy is going towards himself. He's living a life for himself, with himself, about himself, right? If you say that, though, then why is the money? There's no end to the money.
No end to the money?
Right. If you just say it's not to show others, is there any other reason we could explain why?
Could you say it's to prove that he can? That he has ability?
I mean, to prove to himself that he could.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, just to prove to himself. He's not lacking.
Yeah.
That's possible.
He's doing anything. He's for himself.
Right. And he has to keep proving it over and over. But he's like proving it to himself, you're saying.
So what's the point of it?
What's the point of it? It's a psychological, it's an Inyan Ra. It's a bad psychological trait that I think everybody partakes of to some degree.
You see, prove it to yourself.
That you're capable of doing things on your own. That you don't need others. You're not dependent. You can do things on your own, and it's the idea of narcissism. It's a certain self-love. It's the love of the self. You don't need others. You're not concerned about others. You're worried about yourself.
I would love for people to work for me.
You would, huh?
Someone just feed me. You know, do my laundry.
A wife. There you go. You want a wife. Okay. Okay, good. Just don't tell her that, okay?
I think it's almost time.
All right. Okay. All right. Look, it's good. You don't have the problem of Eina Yeshech of Eina Sheini. You know? But you're saying you can't identify with it at all.
What?
You can't identify with the idea at all.
Being lonely?
No, of yesh echad vein sheni.
Yesh.
Idea of wanting to be totally on your own.
You're saying I could or I can't identify?
I'm asking you, can you identify that there's this element that a person has where he doesn't want to be tied to anybody else. He doesn't want to...
Well, no, I know someone who's like very, very lonely.
This is not lonely. I don't think lonely is the right word.
What do you mean
it's
by
not lonely?
Lonely
is different.
So what
lonely is almost the opposite to something.
So what
degree.
Is this?
This is not lonely. Okay. Lonely is you want companionship, you want something, but for some reason, you know, you can't find it. This is a guy who's the opposite almost. He does not want companionship.
But he is alone.
He wants to be alone. Alone is not the same thing as lonely.
Oh, I see.
Okay, good. I'm glad we're clearing that up.
Yeah, we should have defined these terms earlier.
Yechidi means he's alone. He's yesh echad. He's alone. He's an individual. He's separate. He's distinct from everybody else.
Like a hermit? Is it?
A hermit, yeah, partakes of this to a large degree, yeah.
Well, the guy that wants to move out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, that's that kind of guy. He lives in the middle of the forest, right? Doesn't just lives totally on his own, makes his own food, totally self-sufficient. That's this kind of guy. Okay? That's another version of this kind of guy. We can have him in our minds. Okay? Okay, look, we'll try. We're just trying to develop it.
So
we'll
what
see.
Was your question about the money thing?
I don't know. Let's come back to it. I want to move. But, I mean, we'll see if we come back to it, see if we can say something better. Okay?
Okay. What about foreheads? Are foreheads valuable?
Yeah. We're going to get there. Okay, don't worry.
Three wives.
Three, yeah. But let me any ammo. Me acher she'eni maimet talmidim ve'eni nos isha l'holi banim. Right, so now it's the Kel switches to speak from this guy's point of view. Is who are you really working for? He's working so hard. Ein kitz l'chamalo. He's working hard, pursuing money, wealth, learning. Right, what is he doing this for? If he's, and he's killing himself. Mechaser es nafshi. Mitova. Right, if he's, who's he doing it for? If he's not going to ultimately have any children, he's not going to have talmidim. Okay, so it's, yeah.
What about learning for yourself? He's not feeling the joy in that.
I mean, he's learning for his own soul, his own perfection.
Why he feel this way about. Since he don't tell me, then you know who am I learning?
Right. I mean, he's learning for his own soul.
His own perfection.
Yeah.
His own perfection.
I mean, he doesn't seem to be on that level, but there's something.
The guy learns. This guy learns. There's no question. He learns. He learns by himself.
I mean,
he learns by himself a lot. He has enough chavrusas. He has enough talmidim.
Why should anyone learn for someone else? I mean, like what?
Why should you have kids? You mean? Why live your life for somebody else?
You have kids because you have to have kids. So mess without kids. You're doing that for yourself just because it's a mess.
I know, it's funny, because earlier in Koheles, maybe it's later, I forgot, relative to here, he criticized the person who's living his life for others. I mean, I think I gave a shiur on that.
You
right?
did give a shiur on that. It's Rishas.
It's a Midas Rishayim.
Now you're telling us, is it?
Midas Rishayim.
A lot right? of Midas Rishayim.
All right. Well, you're working for somebody else. You're building a money to leave it over to your kids.
Yes.
Right, that's Midas Rishayim. They're to their amal for the tzarech of others. So no, I mean, this is saying that, I think it means is that I think psychologically a person needs to live his life for something outside of himself. It's not sufficient. A person's own existence is finite, and by limiting your existence to something to yourself, to purely yourself, he's lacking a certain dimension and aspect of life and existence. Because his entire being is centered around himself, which is one finite being. But by having children, having talmidim, you're partaking of something much bigger than yourself, of a chain
it's
of
like
humanity. Well?
It's like last week.
What's last week?
You get to identify with the entire span of
something. Oh, yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, exactly. That's very good. Yeah, that's very good.
I mean, last time.
Two weeks ago. He's right. Yeah, exactly. That's psychological need.
But isn't the,
oh, it's true. It's very good. There's that psychological need. Is lemiani amol mechashes nashi mitova, right? Once you're not part of the everything is limited to the self, so he's lacking a whole aspect of life. So he's like so focused on himself, he's missing. You know, the greatest part of life is partaking in something bigger than yourself. It's one of the joys of life. Okay, now and by his narrow focus on only his own existence, not caring about anybody else, not willing to work for, not seeing the value, right? His narcissism, his home is makes places only himself as the center and the most important thing in the world. He's the greatest person in the world. He's the only thing that matters. He's lacking in this idea of partaking of something bigger than himself. And he loses that. He loses a tremendous part of life, part of existence, part of his psychological satisfaction. That he never has, you know, that he never partakes of. Okay, these are the, and it's an Inyan Ra. This Inyan Ra is narcissism. Everybody has it to some degree. This guy typifies it. He's dominated by his own self love, but it basically God gave man this psychological nature, that we all have this narcissism to some degree. And we're going to see what it causes in the future psukim, but this is this is the beginning of he's painting the prototype, the paradigm of a narcissistic personality who refuses to get help from others, and he has no need he doesn't need others, and he's the best and he's the greatest, and he doesn't care about others. He's not interested in having children, of having talmidim. He doesn't need anybody else. He doesn't care about anybody else. He's doing everything on his own. And he suffers because of that. He suffers because of that. Okay? He works constantly, and he... Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just curious. Would you not apply the wealth one in this part of the pasuk also? The wealth aspect?
I mean, who's he leaving the money to, if not his kids or his... I know. I think that bothered us. This Yaakov Trachman, I think we had that question.
Seems like you could say that.
But you could, right.
So it's in there, actually, I omitted it. Yeah.
Right. I'm not sure if we worked something out for that. It's a good question.
What was the question?
What do you... No, I don't think he could, because the pshat is he's working to make money, right? But who's he going to leave it to? He doesn't have any kids.
Right.
Or he's learning, but he's not going to teach it.
So why doesn't he ask himself that? Who am I leaving money to?
Why doesn't he say it to himself?
Yeah.
It could be. I wonder if, like, I mean, there's something funny about Kyle. This is the one part here where he switches to the first person, where he's talking from that person's point of view.
Well, why?
Maybe the guy says this to himself.
Well, why would he ask him that? I mean, if his whole nature is to not care about someone else, why would he ask? If we're going on the premise that he wants to be alone, he's excluding everyone else.
I mean, because that question, it forces itself on the guy's psyche of what's the point of all this? Why am I doing this? There's no way to justify that by saying, well, I'm going to be a chain in the Masorah. I'm going to teach Talmidim, and they'll teach their Talmidim. I'm going to have kids, and they'll have kids. It's part of humanity.
He could care about himself.
He does, but there's something empty about that. There's something that maybe even that he's tormented by the question of what am I doing exactly.
I know, but why can't you say that this is exactly who the Kabbalah is talking about? A guy like this.
Right, a guy like that. But the question is, does this guy have that recognition? Does the narcissist realize on some level that what am I doing here? I'm doing all this for myself, but is that really worth it? Does that really make sense?
No, I would think not.
Yeah, okay. It's possible not. I think it's possible on some level he does, and that's why Kyle switches to the first person. And that disturbs his life. It does disturb his life. That sense that what am I doing exactly? Is like, you know, is the... Because I think deep down the narcissist is insecure. He's insecure, and he's trying to gain that level of comfort and self-esteem and security through all his different actions he's doing. And on some level it bothers him. What am I doing? The self is not great enough, objectively, to justify doing everything you are for yourself. You just don't have enough objective worth, if you're honest at all. So I don't know if he's consciously honest, but I'd say on a certain unconscious level, he senses that this is stupid. What am I doing here?
I mean,
Could we not?
I mean, you could see. I mean,
it's possible not. I'm just suggesting the possibility of why. It switches to the first person.
Yeah, but you could ask this question on like a very like Jeff Bezos. Like, why would he need to work anymore? He has all the money in the world.
Maybe he's a narcissist.
Okay. I mean,
it's possible. It's only possible.
I'll say what I'm trying to say is I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, he might have certain characteristics.
Yeah, but I don't think he's gonna question why. Should I continue working?
No, it's good for the world that he continues working. Not so good for him. Yeah, that's the other guy, right? The Mead of Russia. He accumulates all this money for others to benefit from. Yeah.
Isn't the ultimate goal, even if he has like this healthy relationships with other people, he gets rid of this Mida, isn't it still just his own self-perfection, though? Isn't that like the goal that he's working towards? Like he should be working towards.
Who?
Any person.
Oh, your own self-perfection?
Yeah.
No, it shouldn't just be about yourself. That's not good enough. Your own perfection yourself.
Like, you could be worried about...
That's just a much more sophisticated version of narcissism.
No, but even if you're worried about other people's perfection also, but, like, there's still... Perfection is measured individually.
Yeah, but there's perfection of the world and of God's creation. There it's on Hashem. There's something more than just you yourself. If everything is just about your perfection, then it's just a much more sophisticated, advanced level of narcissism. Yeah. You know, there should be some sense of concern for other people and for God's will on the world and the creation. And, like, I think that's the kind of thing everybody starts off totally narcissistic. The baby is the most narcissistic creature there exists. And as you develop, and as you get older, you transfer that love to other objects, right? That's why the halacha is that a person who has no kids, he can't be on a Beis Din, a Sanhedrin. I think it's Sanhedrin. Because he's an achzar. The certain level of rachamim you learn once you start to love other people besides yourself. You get married, you have kids, you see the love, it detaches itself from yourself and your ego, and attach yourself to other people. And you learn how to love other things and to be concerned about other things and to care about them. As you get older, that develops. You start caring about the nation as a whole. Not just, you know, obviously, not necessarily as much as yourself, right? V'hathrech kamocha, right? The Ramban, famous Ramban, right? That you're not going to really love your friend as much as yourself, but still, you develop the ability to care about others. So again, I don't think it's just purely everything you're doing for others is merely as a vehicle of perfecting yourself. Mm. It's an aspect of it, and it should motivate you too, but it's not purely. It's not the ultimate end in life can't just be your own perfection. It's, that itself is not really satisfying to a person. You end up with the same question. What are you doing exactly? Is it, you know, you end up with the same problem. It doesn't end up working. You end up in a Kohelis problem. Okay. That's the simcha mazrosa. The happiness, your own personal happiness isn't sufficient to make you happy. Your own personal happiness will lead you to depression if that's all you have.
Okay. No, I get that. I'm saying the only thing that's going to last past this world is people's souls, which have a certain level of perfection or not perfection. Like, the physical world, or like the, I don't know if that's true, that, like I was going to say, the, like the alms perfection. Maybe that does last, I don't know, in some way. I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, but look, there's you know, your kids and your grandkids and your students, and Klal Yisrael continues, and you have Yimos Mashiach, the third Bais HaMikdash, and there's, you know, there's more than just, you know, we're more than just abstract, non-physical souls. We're human beings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we live in a physical world, and, you know, that's God created, He didn't just create angels, He created people. So.
Who are we exactly talking about right now? Are we still in the framework of the guy who wants to be alone? Because, I don't know.
Yeah, it seems
like we're getting out of that right now. Because
okay, let's go back to him, okay? Pasi Tess. Pasi, let's come back to him, okay?
Okay.
Tovim Hashnayim. Tovim Hashnayim Min Ha'echad. Asher Yishlem Sachar Tov Bamalam. Okay. So two are better than one. Right? They have a good reward from their work. Better reward, right? They've got better benefits from their work. Rashi. Tov Mishnayim L'chol Davar Minecha. Two are better in everything, in all regards, than one. L'fikach, Yikne Lo Adam Chaver. A person should acquire a friend. Chavrusa. V'yisei Isha. And marry a woman. Asher Yeshlem Yoser Revach B'malom. So that when they work together, they'll have more profit. There's many activities that two people can do, but one person can't even start. Okay. So what's Rashi saying? What's the idea that Klal is bringing out over here in this pasuk?
You're a happier man if you work in pairs.
He's not just saying happier. He's saying more effective.
Right,
more effective. Why are two better than one in all regards?
You accomplish more. It's more, it's beneficial to you.
Right. Why?
I mean, isn't that an answer?
Oh, well, there's two reasons. Okay, two reasons I can think of. We'll see what guys you can come up with. Okay, one is an idea of a division of labor. Is that if you divide up the labor, so you can, each of you, if you have two people and you divide the labor, so each of you can become experts in limited areas. You can be better, as opposed to one person having to do everything. It's very hard to be like an expert in all different areas. So you end up with like a shallow knowledge, shallow abilities and skills, right? let's say in the case of in business, we'll take that first, right? So in a business, so if you can have one businessman, you know, you have one person manning the phones in the business when calls come in. One goes in as a salesman. One develops his ability to convince people. One develops his ability to organize the business. One deals with the accounting. One deals with the legal aspect of it. You know, there's different aspects of a business. So if one person is trying to do it all, he's not going to be that proficient in any one particular thing. But if you can hire an accountant and a lawyer and then a salesman and then, you know, and then the office manager. So you can have, everybody has different skills, and they could specialize, just the ability to specialize. So too with a woman, right, in a household, if the man goes out, he makes the parnas, he earns the money, you know, and the woman, she can take care of the house. So there's a division of labor, right, and as opposed to everybody trying to do everything, everybody's trying to cook and clean and raise kids and make money and work, and there's no roles of men and women. Right? So there's a value in the division of labor of people specializing, having different roles. It's more productive. And in all regards, in general, it's two people are going to be better than, you know, two individuals working separately. where they each have to try to do everything. It's going to be less productive than two people working together. Right? The same thing with the Chavrusa. How does it work with the Chavrusa?
No, one guy could ask questions, the other guy could answer them.
Yeah, I mean, they have different strengths.
Twice as many people to think of ideas.
Oh, yeah, different minds. Different minds, see, right, correct. You have more minds thinking about the problem. Yeah, okay.
They think differently.
They think differently, exactly. They have different strengths. Certain people have a better bikias, a better knowledge of bikias. Certain ones have more creative svaras. Some people don't say they have creative svaras, but they're very good at recognizing a flaw in thinking. You know, so when you pair up with other peoples and intellectually, so you have different, just like, you know, you have the different intellectual strengths, and then they complement each other. And it's better than each person isolated on his own trying to learn through a sugya. But you bring the strengths together and they harmonize and they work together and they produce, right, a better result. Right? And Rashi ends off with is that certain things are just simply impossible. Not just it's more efficient to do with two than one, but it's simply impossible. Right? There's no way to make you can't make a baby. One person alone can't make a baby. Right? And there's certain malachos, right? Certain malachos, certain jobs that just require a team, they require multiple people. It is simply just you know, you just can't do it. An individual can't do it. It would be a good example of that.
Lifting something really heavy, I guess.
Lifting something heavy, like on Shabbos. What?
Building a house.
Yeah, building a house, exactly. One person can't. I mean, I don't know.
No, like moving beams around.
Yeah, heavy beams, right. Like melachos on Shabbos.
Yeah.
Certain melachos on Nasi Dishtayim. So just certain things simply impossible. They just can't be done. This person who's number one, he's got to do everything on his own. So he's closing off his life to a whole range of possibilities. There's a lot of things simply are just not going to be aspects of life, experiences of life, are just going to be closed off to him because certain things can only be done in teams, right? He's not going to be able to, you know, row a canoe. I don't know, you know, certain things. He's going to go in circles. You know what I mean? He's needing two people paddling at the same time, certain boats, right? So just this, he's like certain aspects of his human existence and human life, the narcissist is totally closed off completely. Simply can't engage in them because he's unwilling to partner with somebody else. And even what he does do, he's just less efficient than if he worked with somebody else, right? Because again, he doesn't specialize, right? In all aspects, two people are better than one, which is interesting, Rashi. I wonder if it's really true, if there's certain areas where you're just better off one person than two.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely.
You're sure? Rashi is the whole davar.
Maybe we have exactly. Grades like
well,
he's exaggerated.
Just to give you an example, don't you tell me? Give me a counter example to Rashi.
We have a phrase, you know, like a one-man job or something like that. There's definitely things that...
It's better to have one than two?
Yeah, it's more efficient. I don't know.
I mean, it's like, you know, the founders, they made the executive branch as one person. I think like in Switzerland, there's
a king. You only need one king.
Right, king. I mean, having multiple kings.
Yeah.
Creates problems.
Starts a war.
Right, creates problems if you have multiple kings.
Yeah.
So
the king's only an Abishav anyway.
Well,
king's only there to be an Abishav anyway.
Oh, beautiful. I like it. That's good. You would Rashi say for the executive branch, better have two people than one.
I don't think so. I don't think there's an idea.
Yeah, it sounds like
I don't think the idea of a board of directors.
Two wives. A wife have two husbands.
Well, that's already two, a husband and a wife. I don't know if you need already. That's already three now.
It's true, yeah.
That's okay, true. Kings is a good example, right? Two kings. Is two kings better than one?
Two kings is definitely not.
No, Ein Shtei Malach Meshtamshim B'Kesser Echad. You can't have two kings ruling with one kingdom.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a good kasha. So you're saying Rashi's exaggerating? Okay, fine. It means in general. In general, you're better off with two than one. Maybe there could be isolated examples. But in general, you're better off having multiple people work on something. As opposed to everybody working individually, because the division of labor, specialization, and plus certain things simply need to require. Right? And the narcissist he's inefficient, and he's closed off from certain parts of life. Okay, fine, let's go further. Ki, im yipolu ha'echad, yakim es chaveru, if one of them falls, his friend will pick him up. Vilo echad sheyipol, ein sheni la'akimo, but the echad, Mr. Number One, if he falls down, there's nobody else to pick him up. Rashi, kim yipolu, kimashmo, so a simple pshat, just practically when he falls down, there's nobody to help him, when things go wrong, right, things break down, and, you know, there's nobody, no assistance coming, right? Sometimes he himself becomes put into a compromised situation, right? And he's can't help himself. There's sometimes, you know, you need somebody outside of yourself to help yourself. Okay, let's see an example. Inina Mishnah. Im takfa alav Mishnah shalom. If, like, his learning, it becomes, like, too much for him, and he, like, forgets certain things, makes mistakes, isolated, he forgets certain things, his friend reminds him, Oim yichshol, v'lidaktik, eseshashon pi rabo. Okay, well, this is interesting, Rashi. If he stumbles, and he makes a mistake, he hasn't learned from his Rebbe, he didn't hear properly, b'chavir midol emes, so his friend comes, his chaver comes, and tells him what the Rebbe really meant. What's interesting is this Rashi is he sounds like the guy has a Rebbe, right? Because why did he show him P. Rabbo? And if you notice, Rashi never pointed out that he doesn't have a Rebbe. Right? He doesn't have a Ben or an Ach. It doesn't say he doesn't have a father. Right? Which is interesting. I would think this guy can't have a Rebbe either.
Why?
Because he...
He's subordinating
himself. Yeah, he's subordinating himself. He needs somebody else. He has to learn from somebody else.
Maybe you just not... kind of naturally have a... establish yourself like a Rebbe when you're like a kid or like younger. Like you're going to have someone you learn from. Everyone's had a teacher at some point.
Right. Everybody has a father.
Yeah.
You can choose not to have a kid or not to have any friends. You can't choose not to have a father and a Rebbe.
What?
Whether you like it or not. There's some people who like, they, you know, as they get older, they refuse to learn from somebody else.
Yeah, but when you're a kid, you can't refuse to learn from people around you.
Right. Right. I mean, practically, even the narcissist is he has to go to school. His parents force him.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I'm projecting.
Well,
he doesn't have a chavrusa though.
He doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, but you're saying, but he still has a teacher.
No, but you could still learn already.
You think the narcissist can learn? I don't think so. I would think it interferes with his ability to learn, to hear from an idea from somebody.
I'll tell you why
he's trying to be a Talmud Chacham though.
No, it's the same reason why he wants to make a lot of money.
But you're right, yeah.
No, it's the same reason why he wants to make a lot of money. He wants to be as smart as he can.
So, you mean he realizes he has to learn from somebody else?
He learned only with, like, the rough.
It's for his own benefit.
The top guy, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's for his own benefit.
And maybe.
Because he may not view his chavrusa as a person to learn from, but it's a guy who he recognizes as a Talmud Chacham.
Right. It could be his... Like a chavrusa is like a competition for him,
right?
So that impacts him. He's not able to have somebody as an equal, but if just somebody who's 30 years older and is the gadol ador or whatever it is, and he's able to just sort of speak in his mind. He's not competing against that guy,
right?
It's possible. That's a possibility. Yeah.
Is this necessarily still like the paradigm? or could he just be saying that if he were in this situation, this is how it would be?
Oh, you mean right? I mean the paradigm guy doesn't even have a teacher, but
yeah. Ends up in this situation somehow.
You're saying this emotion, this personality flaw will impact the guy who's not 100% there. He's able to have a Rebbe, but if he doesn't hear properly, he's going to get hurt because he has no chaver. You can correct him. That's a possibility. You can definitely say that. I was just noticing that when Kohelis brings it down earlier, he says, Gam bein v'ach ein lo. He doesn't say Gam av ein lo. So he never really mentioned that he has no Rebbe. Rabbi Ron Rashi kept saying he has no Talmidim, he has no Chaver. So that's something it's possible that it's something deeper.
Right.
It could be. Now, what are the two things Rashi has, right? Well, that if he forgets, his friend reminds him. If he loses some of his right, and or if the Rebbe, what are the two different ideas? If he misunderstands something from his Rebbe, the friend can correct him. What's the benefit of, what's the inyan of this pasuk? Right? Kim yi polo achad yakim es chavero. What's the idea?
That a friend can what?
Well, you're not infallible. You're going to make mistakes.
You're going to make mistakes, exactly. You're not infallible. Nobody's infallible. Nobody's perfect. A person has flaws. You trip up, you fall. Right? And sometimes you need somebody outside of yourself to help you pick you up again. Sometimes you need help from the outside. You can't do everything yourself. Like, let's say a person needs surgery. You can't do surgery on yourself, So you sometimes there's just, you have internal flaws and you just need help from somebody else. You just can't do everything yourself. Okay, or a person, he forgets things, you have certain things you're forgetting. But if you're learning with the chavrusa, okay, it's unlikely you're both going to forget the exact same thing. So if you have just two people, right, The odds of you forgetting any particular thing is 1 in 50. 1 in, I don't know, whatever. But the odds of you both forgetting the same thing is 1 in 250, right? You had 2,500, right? So it's. I mean, that's not necessarily the greatest way to look at it, is odds-wise. But just the idea is if you forget a particular thing, your friend will remind you. If he forgets something, you remind him, right? So it's just they're isolated imperfections, flaws a person has in his memory, physically. And with somebody else, they can totally overcome, compensate for any particular flaws that you have. And you could compensate for any flaws that they have. Right? And then therefore, it's just together, you could remove each other's flaws completely, in a sense, because you can compensate for them. But if you're one person, you have flaws, you're going to fall down, nobody's going to be able to pick you up. But two people, each time one of them falls down, the other one picks them up, and there's no problem. Right? They get along just fine, and then they keep moving. Right? So it's an aspect is nobody's perfect. Now the narcissist refuses to accept this, that he's imperfect and he needs help, which is, you know, at the root of the problem. But the reality is he is imperfect. He has flaws just like everybody else, and he's on his own. He's nobody to compensate him. But the right blend of people, the right complement of people, can completely compensate for each other's flaws. Right. The second aspect Rashi is bringing out with the Rebbe. We mentioned it before a little bit, but when you hear Shir, different people have different perspectives on an idea, and your perspective on is, you know, different. You might have one perspective, your friend might have a different perspective, and your perspective, you know, it might be in certain situations, it might be better than his, but sometimes it's the way he perceived the Shir is being better than yours, and together you can work out the emes, you can try to come to the truth. Because now that you don't hear the Shia the same way as your friend necessarily, do you know? So it's like looking at something from different vantage points. And sometimes one vantage point is going to be better than the other one to do. So if you have multiple people and you have a chavrus and you discuss the Shia afterwards, so you can come to what was the right idea, you know. And sometimes it'll be because of you, your way of perceiving learning from the rabbi, and sometimes it'll be his way of doing it. But if it's always going to be on your own, you're locked into one way of viewing things. And sometimes it's going to be good, and sometimes it's not going to be good, and there's nobody to correct you. So in terms of learning, it's always going to be better. It's always going to be better when you're in a shir. You have harus afterwards. You could discuss it, right? Discuss what did your rabbi really say? What did he mean? You know, and that's definitely one of the benefits of a harusa, is discussing is learning from your rabbi with a harusa. Definitely, it's one of the big benefits of a harusa. There's different perspectives. Okay. Besides, for when you make mistakes, it's just different ways of viewing the rabbi, what he meant. Okay, and that's again, nobody's perfect, and you're limited in your perspective, you're limited in your abilities, and you have flaws. And a chavrusa can completely compensate and compensate for those intrinsic flaws that a person has. Yeah.
Sorry, just actually, what did talk about the Mishnah mean?
I think what it means is like your learning is too much and you forget something.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm interpreting.
I thought, no, he couldn't understand it.
Could be. I just didn't know. What does machzirin lo mean?
Yeah, that didn't really follow.
I know. That's why I'm translating it that way.
Right.
But, yeah, and I mean, Tavar lo mishas, it's more like that. It sounds like it's too much, but then I just didn't know what machzirin lo meant.
Right.
But, you know. Okay, fine. We got two more psukim here. Gam im yiralf. Gam im yishku shnayim v'cham lehem. V'l'echad eich yecham. Also, if two people lie down, v'cham lehem, right? The body warmth, the benefit from each other's body warmth. One person, how's he going to stay warm? How's he going to get warm? Rashi. V'cham lehem k'mashmo. So obviously, it's a simple shot, right? There's two people like body warmth. V'l'inyan zach v'nekeva, mischam zeb mezeh umolidin. Right, male and female, warm from each other, friction. And they have kids, right? They produce kids. Right, what's the ideal? What's the idea of this pasuk? Right, you need a man and woman in order to produce kids. One person alone, not going to have too many kids. Right? So what's the idea? There are certain phenomena that only emerge, right, with the combination of two people, like a child, right? Certain a baby only exists, right, with the combination of the male and the female. And there's a certain creativity, right, of creating a new baby or the sharing of the body, which simply doesn't exist. One person alone, the body, right, the heat escapes. But two people, they can warm each other, right? So there's the whole phenomenon of keeping body together. It only exists when you have two people together. I guess a blanket might work. But there, let's say the baby. There's a certain phenomenon, the creation, the creative action only exists when you put the male and female together. Then you can create something new. And similarly, I think in learning it exists. Rashi doesn't say this, but I think the same thing is true. It's the interaction of the minds, the friction between two minds, right? The give and the take, and the questions and the arguments. It's the same thing with Rashi and the Talmidim, is that the friction between two minds is what produces is creative thought, right? So it's very difficult to just have purely creative thought, a person on their own. It's just like, you know, to create a child. It takes two people to create a child, and the creative act is not really something that emerges from one person alone, but it emerges from the interactions of two people. So I think also with ideas and creative ideas, it's very, most fruitful thinkers, it's through their interactions with other people. They throw bounce ideas off of each other. They get ideas from each other. They have questions. There's back and forth. And that whole process is also a result of, intellectually, the result of creative action, something creative, something new emerging from the interaction between two people. Again, there's a limitation to what a person is able to really create on their own. Right? And just like a Zachar and a Keva, to create a child, you really need two. So too, I think really creative ideas oftentimes needs two people. At least, right? It's you know what I mean? It's two. It's because there's something one, the interaction exists only when you have two. One bridge is simply you're qualitatively missing an aspect, right? It's just that only exists really when you have chavrusa or talmidim. Okay, fine. Let's think of the last point, last pasuk, and the im yiskefo achad. Ashnaim yamdu negdo. Okay. So if the individual, one guy gets attacked by Rashi Roberts, overpowered, the second one will stand up for him. The chudim ashush lomeri yinasek. And a tripartite thread will not be easily broken. Thread or three parts, I don't know, tripartite, will not be easily snapped. Okay, what was Rashi? V'im yiskefo echad, imbo listim alav l'takfo. So basically, muggers come, try to overpower you. Im shnayim him, if you have two people there, yamd l'negdo. Right? The koshkidim gimel him, and then koshkidim, the more people you have here, it's a certain element, just simply quantity, the more people you have, the safer you are. V'achodim meshulash l'bim yinasek. Right? A thread of three fibers is not easily snapped. Right, so the more you have, the stronger it becomes. And what's this aspect dealing with? How two is better than one? Right, in terms of dealing with what?
Well, they combine in strength.
Combine strength in terms of what? Which aspect?
Danger.
Like danger, external dangers. Right, it's not the internal flaws. There's internal flaws is one hell, you know. The compensation of internal flaws, one person for the other. But then there's against external dangers, right? There's always somebody looking for your money, looking for your land, right? There's always a conqueror, somebody trying to take advantage. And people band together into groups, and they're safer. But the guy who's refusing to, he's a loner, he's living by himself, right? He's not, doesn't make friends, doesn't, nobody help him, nobody come to his aid. He's an easy prey, he's an easy target. For somebody else, he thinks he's the greatest, he thinks he can survive on his own, yeah, but a bunch of muggers come to him. And he's one guy, overpower him. But if you have multiple people, two people, three people, four, the more you have, the better. Then you create the safety, the security in numbers, because you can stand up to them. They're not going to attack you. They'll go after the other guy, the one guy. They're not going to attack you. They're going to attack an individual walking in the street alone. They're not going to attack a group, right? Much, much less likely. Especially because there is such a thing as individuals. Even if in theory they could overpower two, still one is an easier target. The easier target they're going to go for. Man, certainly three is he better than two? So in a certain sense, in dealing with external dangers, you have really the idea that, again, two is safer. The one tries to be, he wants to present himself, he doesn't need anybody else. He can survive on his own, nobody can touch him, but it's not really true. And his fantasy gets crashed, right, cracked when he really, when he gets mugged. He gets beat up, right, and there's nobody helping him. But if he had multiple people, he could really, protect himself, right? Okay, let's see Rashi, another Rashi. Dav Racher. Mishu Talmud Chacham, Ubno Ben Beno. Somebody's a Talmud Chacham, and his son's a Talmud Chacham, and his grandson's a Talmud Chacham. Shuv Ein Torah Posekes Mizaro. V'chein Omer, Lo Yimush Mi Picham, Pizaracham, Pizaro Zaracha. Okay, it's a Gemara above Metzia. Okay, I don't know if this Rashi fits in. If Rashi's saying that there's like a simon, or I forgot the Gemara's Lashon. Haftacha maybe that to a person that if you have three generations in a row to be the chamim, then Torah is never going to leave that line ever again.
Didn't he give a share one time?
I did. Oh yeah.
About how like the opposite's going
to happen. Oh, yeah. Those the sons of how the children to be the chamim are generally not to be the chamim.
Yeah.
In general, that's true. That's not as it's a gemara.
That's because
they asked the question. That's from that gemara. They asked the question. It's a contradiction. That's a Gemara in Adarm. There's a Gemara in Bamansi, I think.
No,
did I take up this Gemara or no?
No, you took up the other one.
I know. There's a Gemara, it's a question.
About the reasons why your kids won't be from a Tamil
Chacham. Right. Why it won't work. But here's if you're able to pull it off, if you're able to accomplish it. Doesn't mean it's impossible. It happens sometimes. You do have, right? Reb Chaim, Reb Moshe, and the Rav, right? You have it.
I think Rebbe has an ancestor who. Where is he from? From Spain?
That was a joke.
Chayat, I know. Okay. I was going to lead up to the joke, but whatever.
Okay, what's the idea, though? Why is it never going to
go
be?
Go ahead if you need help.
What's the idea of the Avtacha?
What?
What's the idea of the Avtacha? Why should it be? Three generations in a row.
What does this have to do with being alone?
I don't know, it's a good question. I mean, just define it. I'll tell you the idea I've had before, and then we'll see if it fits in at all.
Oh, you're saying because of the three people, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure if Rashi is bringing a totally different...
I mean, it is Devar.
I know, but it's not in line at all with the whole thing. It's possible. As I wanted to say once, true. I don't know if it's going to help us, is that once you have, like, three people, it creates, like, a certain element of, like, a dynasty of Yichus. That person comes from those, the next generation, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, they come from this line of great Talmid Chachamim. So it becomes part of his identity, of who he is. That he's the, you know, he's a grand, he's a Soloveitchik from the Reb Chaim and the Reb Moshe and the Rav, and comes from all these three people, and becomes part of his identity. So it doesn't necessarily mean every single one of now the kids and grandkids and great-great-great-grandkids are going to be Talmid Chachamim. But it means that that's always going to be part of the identity of somebody who's a Soloveitchik. Right? They're always going to identify as being part of that line, and that's always going to be a factor. And eventually that's going to move them to go back to Torah and to be a Talmud Chacham, because it becomes part of who they are once you have a certain chain of three people.
Do we see that that's true?
Am I going to start a dynasty? We'll see, hopefully.
Do we see that that's true? Okay. Well, are there a lot of cases of that? I guess, I don't know.
It's a pasuk. I don't know. That's a good question.
I'm not holding
whether, I mean, empirically, does this work out?
You have to, like, interview the people who
Does it really work out? It's a theory.
Interview the people who are, like, ancestors of Talmud and ask them.
Yeah, right. Does this have an impact? Mm-hmm. I would think it has an impact.
Wait, is it only with the Chachamim's... Okay, fine.
Never mind. Okay, now, how does it tie into this? Like, it's possible it's just a Dover Acher, it has nothing to do with it. But I would say it's showing you that, like, one person alone who's a Talmud Chacham, he's not really capable of ensuring that his offspring are all going to be Talmud Chacham. But if he can combine with two other generations together, they're able to have this impact on all their future generations. The Dover Doros. You can have this dynasty of Talmid Chachamim, and that will have a permanent impact on all your kids. But just you alone, without your father and grandfather, or whatever, your son and grandson, all be Talmid Chachamim, without getting the three, you're not able to really produce this effect on all your offspring. Will they be tamei chacham? Will they not? Who knows? Possible, right? Like we said, that the children of tamei chacham are very often not tamei chacham, right? More often than not, right? So it's a person on his own is not really capable of making sure his son's going to be a tamei chacham. But if you have the help of others, your father and your grandfather together, then you can really ensure this, right? So again, you're seeing the benefit that multiple people are able to create a new phenomenon, this identity of a family and a dynasty that has this impact of bringing your offspring closer to Torah that one person alone isn't really capable of doing. Okay, last pshat on Rashi, Dover Acher, Chud HaMashulash, B'mikru Mishnah B'derech Eretz Lo B'meiru Choteng. Okay, that's a Rashi's last shot. You have a person who is involved in learning Torah Shvichsav and Torah Shvapeh, right? Mikra Mishnah and Derech Eretz, meaning Derech Eretz, I guess, would be different ways to learn Derech Eretz. Kumi means a parnasa. Kumi means ethics, socially appropriate behavior, things like that. He won't necessarily be a chote. It probably means a parnasa, I would think.
Really?
I don't know. What do you think?
I thought it was more like most of ethics.
Like Pirkei Avos type of things?
Yeah.
I thought it was parnasa.
You thought it was what, parnasa?
It's only because it was
called Mikra. I'll give you a cheap shot to him. That's what you learn with multiple people. What's the idea?
What are the other ones?
It's Mikra and Mishnah. I guess Mikra is Torah Shvichsav. Uh-huh. And Mishnah is like Torah Shvichsav Halacha. Combination of these three things of learning Torah Shvichsav and Halacha and Derech Eretz, which can mean either a job or means like Pirkei Avos type of things.
Maybe it just means Gemara.
Well, Derech Eretz means Gemara. Alright, that's what's missing, right?
Right.
L'meir Chote.
But if you have the Mishnah Torah, can you only do that?
Mishnah Torah either has all three.
Yeah.
So that's the whole point of it. Yeah. Of course.
Right, Derech Eretz.
Okay. I mean, what's up, Shah? I mean, it seems to be pointing, well, Midos, I guess that's his name, Derech Eretz.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems to be pointing out that the idea of a person who's well-rounded, who has, who's not just focused on Torah Shvichsav, not just focused on Halacha, not just focused on Musar, not just focused on money, but you have, like, you have all the different aspects. There's a certain, chait comes when a person focuses too much on one area, then he's, like, he's completely blind and lacking in another area. That's when he's opened himself up to chait. If he has no money, right, he's much more liable to steal. If he has no halacha, then, you know, or he has no philosophy in Torah Shvichsav, just if he has certain gaping holes in his knowledge, in his life, that's what leads him to making mistakes and to sinning and to be opened up to his instincts, to overcome him in certain areas. But to be, you want to be capable, you want to be holding in all the different aspects of life, of philosophy from the Mikra and the Halacha from the Mishnah and Derech Eretz, capable of interacting in society in a normal, healthy way. The combination of all those things keeps a person on the straight path. What that has to do with Yeshecha Vein Shayim, Ein Shenia, I really don't know. That's a tougher one, right? Tough one that has to do with anything, right? Yeah, go ahead.
How did it happen? Can you?
Well,
how did it happen not be a chote?
I'm saying because when your person has like a gaping hole in his life, you have no derech eretz, you have no money. So then you just, even if you have, you know, if you have a strong philosophical background of mikra and halacha, but you need money. So you'll do things because you're hard, you're hungry, you're starving, you're right? It's like that calls the person maybe the day list him, right? It's like the Rambam. You know, it was a paragimel hachayud, maybe the guy who's right, Spanish and Sebor. And so you have a guy who has money, but he doesn't have the proper philosophy in life, or if he has a proper philosophy in life, but he doesn't know halacha. So these, like, if you have gaping holes, it's like in order to be lead a good life and follow the, you know, the proper path in life, is you can't just take one aspect of life and focus on it exclusively. You have to be able to do multiple things. Or else your instincts will get you in that other area, because, you know, the area that you're lacking in, where if you have a blind spot, you know, you'll you don't know any philosophy, or you don't know any halacha, then you make mistakes. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. This Rashi bothers me. I don't know what Derech Eretz means. I don't really know I hear you asking, why is it a chote? What's something deeper we can say? Well, why is he, what exactly about is it the combination of these three things? It's hard because I don't know what Derech Eretz is. And then what does it fit into the, you know? But it's good to leave with the question. It's good. Okay, is there anything we could say about this guy overall?
In general.
In general.
Yeah, I don't want to say that. I want to say the one thing, the Hevel. Okay, I want to say this Hevel thing.
The emptiness?
No, no. The Hevel is just... It's the Hevel is... Hevel is in the Inyan Ra. Gamze Hevel v'Inyan Rahu. Is that... The Hevel is that God made the world in such a way that Tov v'Meshnayim and Echad, that two is better than one. But the Hevel is that he gave us a nature where we want to be independent and on our own, and we're not happy requiring help from others.
Really?
That's the Hevel. Our psyche is predisposed to narcissism and to wanting to be independent, wanting to not need others, to not care about others, to not help others, to not need the help of others, to wanting to do it on our own, to prove to everybody how great we are. We are predisposed to this narcissism. That's our natural psychological bent. In some people, it's more expressed than others. But it's an Inyan Ra that God gave us. He really gave us this type of nihug, a psyche, and a minhug, a nihug of narcissism and egoism. And it's really not compatible with the world. That's not the way the world works in general, is that teamwork and cooperation and helping others leads to a more efficient, a happier, a healthier, a fuller life. The ability to want to work with others and to help others and to develop teams and to pair up with people and even more so in three, four, you know, it's more protected, you're safer, and in general, l'chol davar, tov mishnayim and echad. It's just, that's the better way. God made the world in that way, that's better, you know, two is better than one. But on the other hand, he gave us a psyche, which is really, it is a very strong drive to want to assert our independence and our individualism, and our, especially in the Western world, it's much greater than anywhere else. That's a big part of the Western psyche, is this individualism. And that's really an Inyan Ra, the idea of the individualism and the need of the narcissism to assert ourselves. It's part of our psyche and it's there, but it's Hevel, that God made the world in a way where Tov Mishnayim and Echad, but then he put this Inyan Ra in our hearts, that we want to be on our own, we want to be independent. And that's just, you know, one part of what Kohelis does, is he's analyzing the world. Man's psyche, how man's psyche is not really compatible with the way the world really is. God made the world in one way and gave man a psyche, which is not necessarily leading him to the healthy, happy, good life. Okay? It's Hevel. It's Kori Tagar. It's the problem with Maizu Bereishis that we see. Now, we can overcome it, and to some degree it's our fault. To a large degree, mostly it's our fault. And certainly could blame Adam Arishan for the whole thing. Rehema bikshus cheshbonas rabim, you know. But nevertheless, you know, you can't ignore the Hevel aspect of this world. How the world is like one way, and our psyches are another way. You know, and you're not blaming God for it. You're just, so to speak, expressing the dissatisfaction with the way our psyches are compared to the way the world actually is. And it's not good. And, you know, and you have to work on it. You have to work on it, but you can't ignore the fact that man's psyche is not naturally predisposed to the best, happiest, most efficient way to lead life. Okay, and this is one aspect of it, the narcissistic emotion and all the flaws and lackings that it comes with, how inefficient, how bad it is, how it cuts man off from such a better... greater things in life, things that limits his opportunities, things he can't be involved in at all, things he can't create, right? And just, he's constantly working and he's frustrated and what's he doing? There's no purpose ultimately beyond himself. But nevertheless, that's the Inyan Ra that we have, to each of us to some degree, and the Western world to a very, very large degree, right? Much more so than the rest of the world. Yeah, go ahead, Yaakov.
That's what Hevel means.
That's how Rashi interprets it in the beginning. It's Kori Tagar. Just like something wrong. It's like you're complaining.
Right.
It's like it's not right.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'm just learning Rashi. It's Kori Tagar. Right, Hevel. Correct.
it's not actually unright, is it?
I mean, look, it's look. You can blame Adam Rishon, blame the original Chet. You know, guy, he created man Yashar, and then they forgot where that pasuk is. That's also in Kohelis.
Yeah.
Man, big shoe cheshbon is rabim, and then man made himself through his sin, this twisted psyche with all these problems. You know, but it's not a question of assigning blame as much as it's.
I'm joking.
I didn't hear.
No, because I said it was Ella's fault, but did he hear me?
Sorry, no. But now I did. No, so it's not a question of assigning blame as much as it's like expressing the reality of not deluding ourselves into thinking everything is wonderful. We're the perfect psyches for the way the world is. There's problems. It's, you know, the obstacles in the way of a person achieving a good, happy existence are many, and the biggest obstacle is the discord between the way your psyche is set up before you work on it, before you work on it and the way the world reality is. Look, I mean, that's why you have the Torah. This is like almost Kohelis is mostly dealing with the person who doesn't have the Torah to perfect him and to guide him, and the way his psyche naturally is. Tachas HaShemesh means exchange for Torah. You're looking for how is life going to be? If you don't have the Torah, how's it going to be? You know, but I mean, once you have the Torah and you work on yourself and you change yourself, you're capable of overcoming these things. But it's like without the Torah, without working on yourself, it's naturally, it's not, doesn't lead to good places. It's unfortunate. But this is how it is, you know? It does not seem like the objective of creation was for an individual to be happy, you know? It doesn't seem like it. You know, maybe it was originally, and then Adam sinned, I don't know, but it doesn't seem like God created man for exclusively for that purpose. You know, and there's all these problems, and then that's part of the hevel of this world. There is hevel. There's hevel in this world. Olmazeh has a lot of hevel in it. And you know, and look, but that's the Torah is something above. It's l'mala min ha-shemesh. That's part of the Sof Davar, at the end of Kohelis. Okay? All right, guys.